I'm thinking of a song that I learned years ago. It goes something like, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine always, and all I need for the morrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow." How many have heard that song? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. And you know, there may be some of you are tempted with fear. And the fear has to do with the future. And you're worried about the future. And it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it may be in the near future, the far future, but you're worried about the future. And we know that the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind or a healthy mind. And so the devil likes to work with fear. He wants us afraid, but God wants us to be walking in faith and have peace. And so what I would like to look at today is that you who have been redeemed from this present evil world by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, you've been redeemed. If you've been redeemed by the power of Almighty God, the Spirit of God, well, you're like Israel, the Old Testament people who were a people. Remember, they were slaves in Egypt. They were under Pharaoh. They were truly redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb and by the power of God who split the Red Sea. And when they came to the sea, God made a way for them to go through the sea and then destroy Pharaoh and his host. And they were redeemed. And remember, they sang the victory song. And Marian was praising the Lord. And it's wonderful. And we do have times when we praise the Lord. We have our high moments and we praise the Lord. But then we go through those valley times and those times when Satan attacks us and we get discouraged. And so those of you that have been redeemed by the Lord, like Israel, you have happened to you what happened to Israel. What happened to Israel? After they got redeemed from Egypt and from slavery, they went through the Red Sea, and now the slave master was not over them anymore. They were a free people. But wait a minute, as a free people, they didn't have meals provided for them. They didn't have food provided for them. It would be like people today that are depending on welfare, amen? And they're like, "Well, what do I do now? You know, the government's not providing all of that." Well, they had to depend on God. And really, you have to depend on God. And so what happened to these people is that they began to go into the wilderness, and when they went out into the wilderness, they were starting to get afraid and worried and upset and rattled. And by the way, I talk to Christians all the time that are filled with fear. They are filled with worry. Many times they murmur and they complain about these things, and you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and be filled with worry and fear at the same time. And so this morning, you see, I believe that God does not want you fearing the future. God does not want you worried. And so the message I have for you today is the Lord knows the way through your wilderness. The Lord knows the way through your wilderness. And the first thing I want to say is that the Lord knows the way through your wilderness. And here's the text. It's in Isaiah 43:19. I'll read it. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And what did God mean by, "I'm going to do a new thing"? Well, I'm going to do things for you that I've never done before. I've taken care of you for 430 years, even when you were slaves in Egypt. God's taking care. When I went to the Holy Land, I realized that God is still taking care of Israel right now, even though they don't believe in the Messiah. They don't believe in the Lord, but God is taking care of Israel. He's blessing them, and he's preparing them for further blessing. God says, "I know the way through your wilderness, number one, because of who it is that brought you out." The Bible says that God brought Israel out of Egypt. And if you are born again today, if you are saved, the Lord has brought you out of being under the control of Satan. The Lord has brought you out of being one mind with the rest of the world. You are brought out by the Lord. By the way, nobody else saved me but Jesus. Amen. A lady one time had a guy come to give her the last rites. And she was a lady that was saved by the Lord. And she said, "You're going to give me the last rites? Show me your hands." He goes, "What do you mean, show me your hands? I washed them, they're clean. Show me your hands." And he showed her hands. She said, "I don't see any holes in your hands." You see, amen. It's no man that saves you. Right. No man died for you except right. The God-man. Amen. And he's the one that is the Passover lamb. Amen. The reason why Israel got out of Egypt was because that Pharaoh had his own oldest child die, and that was it. And all the children, oldest children died that didn't have the Passover lamb and the blood on top of the door. That signified, are you trusting the blood of Jesus Christ to get you into heaven and to deliver you from Satan? See, they overcame Satan, Revelation 12 says, by the blood of the lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Can you testify that there was a day and a time when you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Can you testify that you're unwilling to trust anyone or anything else other than Christ and his blood as your salvation? And so they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so this message is for the Lord that brought you out by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of Almighty God. And here's what God said to Moses. He said, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people," that's God's chosen people, "which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Do you know what God brought you out? But he knew you before he brought you out.
Amen.
He knew you before you were saved. You say, what did he do? He knew Satan had you. What did he know? He knew you were in sin. What did he know? He knew you were hopeless. What did he know? He knew you were without God in this world. You were born that way. Hey, how about an Israelite child? Weren't they born in slavery? And God knew that. God knew when he let Jacob go into Egypt. He said, go ahead, you can go in, Jacob. He knew that he would become enslaved, or his descendants would become enslaved. He knew that Pharaoh would take over. He knew that they would be beaten. But God knew that he would bring them out. And he knew you before he brought you out. He knew all about you. He was taking care of you. I've talked to Brother Jose when he was a kid in New York City and had a lot of problems as a kid and a lot of needs. And he wasn't saved at that time, but God knew him. God knew him. He knew all about him. He had a plan for his life. He had a plan for his wife. He had a plan for his family. And that's what I'm saying. God is a big God. And God the Father planned to bring you out. You say, why did God the Father plan to bring little old me out? For the glory of his name. You're saved for the glory of his name. And I'm so thankful that I have a God that before I was born, he planned to bring me out. He saw me after I was born. He saw my slavery to sin. He saw the problems in my home. He saw the problems in my life. And yet he planned to bring me out, and thank God for that. And that's what he said here about his chosen people, Israel. The Father planned it. And not only that, but the Son personally provided for you to come out. Look what it says in Exodus 3:8. It says, "And I am come down," God said to Moses, "and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." See, God doesn't only know about you and plan to do something for you. God himself stepped out of heaven and came into this world 2,000 years ago. That's what Christmas is all about. Amen?
Yeah.
He came out of heaven and he was born of a virgin and he came into this world personally to bring us out, to redeem us, and to do what he did for us. And thank God for that. God didn't send an angel to save us. By the way, an angel couldn't die for your sins, right? It had to be God. It had to be a man. God was willing to become a man to save you. Think about it. A man to save human beings like us. What does that mean? He cares for you and me. I like what our former pastor, Dr. Charles Ware, said. He said, the cross of Calvary is an eternal monument to the fact that God loves you.
Amen.
He loves you.
Yep.
Satan's going to attack you. He's going to make you feel left alone. He's going to make you feel forsaken. He's going to make you feel like I've got these financial needs. I got these physical needs. I got these spiritual problems. And he's going to make you feel forsaken. But listen, he came all the way out of heaven to save us. We've got that monument. You know, when Samuel set up a stone, it was called Ebenezer. It means hitherto hath the Lord helped me. God came down to save us. So God planned for you to be brought out. Jesus provided by going to the cross, and I'm so glad he didn't fail. He was not only a man, but he was God, and he could not fail. He did not fail to do what he promised he would do, and that is pay for our sins. You say, how many of my sins did he pay for? All of them. You say, when? My sins before I was saved? No, through your whole life. He saw all your sins. And no matter how many sins you commit, Jesus paid it all. His blood pays it all. Satan doesn't like this. Satan wants to keep you in bondage. Satan wants to keep you under his hand. What does he use? Guilt. Guilt for sin. And yes, we are guilty. Yes, we will die and go to hell. But if you trust Jesus, you're free from guilt. You're free from sin. You're free from death. I like what Martin Luther King said, but I'm going to apply it to the redemption of Jesus Christ. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Amen. Israel was free, and you're the New Testament people of God, and you're free. Satan doesn't like it, and so you can put the blood in his face. Put the blood before him. He doesn't like that. And the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I have trusted the blood of Jesus Christ by Passover lamb, and I'm free at last. I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And you can be too. And many of you are. You're the redeemed of the Lord. And we're going to talk about it, amen. And you think Pharaoh liked it when Moses said, let my people go? Oh, he didn't like it. But that brings me to the third thing. Not only are you saved because of the Father who planned to do this for you and the Son who paid for it, but you're saved because God put forth the power of his Holy Spirit to save you. The power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. God sent on Pharaoh 10 plagues, one after the other, because Pharaoh was not going to let the people go. I'm going to tell you something. Satan, if he could hold you, would hold you. But there's a stronger than Satan. And it's the Lord Jesus that binds the strong man. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the unholy spirit, but I'll take the Holy Spirit any day. And he is able to work in your life. He's able to help me preach right now. Do you know when I preach, I pray that it's not just me up here preaching. It is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's the one, the Spirit of God, that convicts you and that shows you that your righteousness is not going to be able to stand before God. I was looking at the Welsh Revival, and even Roberts cried because he saw in his mind thousands of people at the judgment of God, and he saw they were helpless, undone, and they would not be able to stand before God. You cannot stand before God with fig leaves of religious works. You cannot stand before God, you see, with things that you have done. Away with that righteousness. God got rid of those fig leaves. He killed the lamb, and he put the skins of the lamb on Adam and Eve, and then they were clothed. You need the Lamb of God and his righteousness to be given to you. You need to give up your righteousness and be cleansed through faith of Jesus Christ. And so it's the Holy Spirit, listen, that lifts up Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you pay attention when the pastor's preaching about this. It's the Holy Spirit that draws you by the Father. The Father draws you, yeah, but what does he use? He uses the Holy Ghost of God to draw you. And that's why I seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, have you been filled? Yes. And I get refilled and filled again. And filled again as I need it. Amen and amen. And I'm just saying, amen. And it's so you could be saved. Because what's more important than you're saved? What's more important than that your children are saved? You want God to pour out water on your sons and your daughters. You want them saved, beloved. And so I'm just saying that whatever you're going through, the Lord knows the way through your wilderness. Because He, the Lord, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, brought you out. It's God. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah said it, and I'll repeat it. I'll amen it. Jonah, you preach it, I'll turn the page. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because we need that. And so God brought you out, and Israel had a problem, and they would forget God. And whenever they had a problem, they would forget God and what He'd done for them. And I'm just saying to you, that's our biggest problem. We forget. You say, what should you do about that? Well, start your day with prayer and the Word of God. What should you do about that? How about getting sermons from your own church with your own messenger and listening to them more than once? Repeat them. How about it? It'll help you. You say, that sounds like brainwashing. Absolutely. Wash the devil's junk out of your brain. Amen. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness because He's the one that brought you out. Number two, because He that brought you out will lead you through. I want you to see what it says in verse 19, Isaiah 43. Here's what God says to you. He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God said He's going to do something new. He said in Egypt, you might have been able to turn on the tap. Not really, but and you get the water. You know, you might have been able to turn on the shower and you get the water. But listen to me. God said, I'm going to do something new for Israel. I'm going to give you water right in that wilderness supernaturally. And God did. And He provided for them. And so what we're trying to say to you is God can do a new thing for you. You could say, God never did this before for me. It doesn't matter. God will do whatever you need to do to help you to go through the wilderness. See, since we got out of the devil's camp, we that are saved, we're walking through a wilderness. Amen? There's nothing here for us, really. There's nothing in this world for us that is lasting. And don't put your trust in this world. Don't put your trust in money. Don't put your trust in your job. Don't put your trust in people around you that didn't die for you. Even family, friends. Don't put your trust in that. You put your trust in the living God who brought you out. And now He's leading you through. But. Like I said, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I got to do is follow the Lord as I go through this wilderness. He said He'll make a way for me. And really, that is the crux of my message today. The Lord knows the way, and He's leading you. And so you're going through these things. What happened to Israel? As soon as He took them out of Egypt, now they don't have Pharaoh. Now they don't have their slavery. Some of them, they got so stupid and forgetful, they said, we want to get back there. We want Pharaoh to take care of us. We want to be fed by Pharaoh. No, give me liberty or give me death. But liberty is only for a people that trust God, really. And know the God of the Bible. Because without the God of the Bible, you can't handle liberty, right? You can't handle freedom. And so you got to have the God of the Bible in your life. I know you probably have a schedule. And I have a schedule. And you have a plan for your week. I know Brother Jose Valley, he was getting a schedule, right? And a plan for his life. And so we need that as we have the freedoms. And God said, okay, and I'm going to lead you personally. I'm going to give you the glory cloud. My presence. And if the cloud moves, you move. If the cloud moves again, you move again. If the cloud stops, you clop. Stop. Not clop. Stop. Stop and plop. And you make a tent there, and all Israel made the tent, and they rested there until the clouds started moving. When the clouds started moving, they'd sound the trumpet, and it was time to move again. And they kept on moving and following that cloud. Also at night, it was a pillar of fire by night, so they could see by night. Now, I've talked about this before, but my wife's in Florida, my daughter's in Florida right now. I've made many trips through the years up and down to Florida, about 1,200-mile drive. And I used to drive at night a lot. You know, I would do a lot of night driving because of my schedule. And so I would drive through the night. And as I would drive through the night, my family's sleeping all around, you know, and I'd be driving. And I couldn't see 1,200 miles in front of me. I couldn't see the end of that trip. In fact, I couldn't even see 20 miles ahead of me. You know how far I could see ahead as I'm wending down the highway, 70 mile an hour, or whatever it is? 150 feet. 150 feet, just as far as the headlights would shine. And that's why, you see, you have to trust God with the future. I went that 150 feet, and the headlights said, okay, here's another 150 feet. Keep going. Don't put the brakes on. Keep going. And then same thing. And it's the same way with you. You live your life one day at a time. And you go forward one step at a time. And so I don't know what you're facing beyond that 150 feet in your life. But I know a lot of the things you worry about, God will remove it before you even face it. And it may not even be as you expect. But I know one thing. I know who is ahead of you. I know who is leading you. So the Lord is the one that knows the way through your wilderness, because he's the one that brought you out. He is the one that is leading you through, and that's what God did for Israel. And he brought them through that wilderness. I like the song, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. See, grace is God's free gift of salvation, but that's not just for the past. Grace is for the present. What is grace? It's the power of God and the presence of God to lead you, to guide you, to protect you, to help you. And as long as you're following him, you're in the safest place you could be. And you say, well, how does he lead? By his Holy Spirit, through his word. Sometimes I'll tell people the Bible, they're like, I don't want to do that. I'll take a vote on it. That's not following the headlights. That's veering off the track. No, what does the Bible say? Listen to this one, class. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I remember when God called me to the ministry here to be a pastor, and he encouraged me not to be afraid. He said, be strong. He told Joshua and God, the Holy Spirit applied it to me. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then he said, no man, he told Joshua, listen to this, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I've taken that promise. And you know what? I've had people come against me, but God always sees me through. Amen. And he will continue to do that until my course is run and my day is done. And so I'm just saying to you, and Joshua, he said, I'll give you the land so you can give it to the people and let them have the blessings of God. And I want the people of God to get the promises in the Word of God, to get the provisions of the Lord. But I want to have you know that you need to keep moving. Don't stop. If the Lord is leading, you keep going. If he tells you to stop and take a break, yeah, then do it. But keep going. My daughter and wife went down to Florida. My daughter said, well, do you want to go down with mom? You know, Dad, I'll let you go. I'll stay back here. I'll do this. I say, nope, you go. Take a rest. I am right here. This is where I need to be. I need to be moving with the Lord. And he'll tell me when I need to rest, you know, and I keep moving with the Lord. And I find out it's a blessing. And so I want to encourage you that the Lord knows the way for you through the wilderness. So you just keep following him. And I'll tell you what, when you're given the gospel and training others to give the gospel, what a blessing we have on Thursday night. It was so good to see Awilda come out Thursday night, and she came back to Solon. And it was so good to be out with Jose Valley on Saturday when Matt had to take a break. It was so good. And I'm telling you, Diane Payon came up to me today. She said, "Pastor, I had a great weekend." Why? "Oh, I led three people to the Lord." And, you know, that's what it's all about. I'm going to heaven, but I want to take others with me. Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we're here? Why would we rather be here than up there? We're in a wilderness here compared to up there. It's not that nice down here. There's a lot of tears and troubles, you know, and all of that. And so I'm just saying to you, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and he's brought you out, and he is leading you, and you can trust him that he is taking care of you. And what a blessing that is. And he just wants you to keep on keeping on with him. Now, there's a third and final thing, and that is this. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness because he that brought you out and leads you through will bring you in. Now, God said to the Jews, he said, "I'm going to bring you into your promised land." Listen, did he do it? Yes, he did. Amen. He did it through Joshua. Joshua represents Jesus. By the way, we're not going to get out except Jesus. Amen. God can use the law on us to convict us that we're in sin and we're slaves, but the law can't bring you out. It's Jesus that brings us out. By the way, Jesus leads us. Amen. He leads us. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Don't listen to the lies of the devil. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's not giving up on you. He's not forsaking. You say, "But I fell. I got into sin. I messed up." Yeah, the Bible says the righteous man falls seven times and gets back up again. If you've fallen, get up. Get back up through the Lord and keep walking. And follow him. He will not leave you or forsake you. The devil will tell you, "You fell." He doesn't care. He's against you. Look at all the past sins you got. He'll point you back there. I point him to the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say, "His blood washed away all my sins, devil." And you put out his lies by the blood of Jesus. And so I'm saying the Lord brought you out. The Lord is leading you through. And the Lord will bring you in. See, he finishes the job. By the way, if I don't know, those of you that don't have the Lord as your Savior, you don't have a testimony that you've trusted Jesus Christ, I don't know how you do it in this world. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it without him. And I want to tell you, if I were you today, right now, I would say, "Lord, I want you as my Savior. I put my trust in you." And guess what? He won't turn you away. He's the best friend you'll ever have, and he finishes the job. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it in the day of Jesus Christ." Have you ever seen people, they'll do a job, maybe a kid, they'll pick up their toys, and then the mother has to come and say, "You didn't finish picking up your toys. Finish the job." You ever had that happen to you? You ever have somebody do work for you, and they didn't finish the job that they contracted to do? They didn't finish that job. That's why you withhold that pay till the end. Amen. But they didn't finish that job. You got to finish the job. Well, the Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it." When? Until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, the day of the Lord is God's judgment. But the day of Christ Jesus is the same time, except it's the rapture. It's when Jesus comes back for you. And that's what I'd like to finish up with. I'd like to finish up with John chapter 14 and verses 1 and 2 in your Bible. It's a great scripture by the Lord. Before he died for our sins, he gave us this promise that he would finish the job, that he who brought you out and leads you right now will bring you in. And look at what it says. John 14, I'll read it, 1 and 2. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, Believe also in me. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, I'm equal with God.
Right.
I'm not just a man. I'm not just a created being. Amen. I am the eternal God who became a man. That's Jesus. Amen. That's what he is saying. That's why Jehovah's false witnesses are deceived.
Right.
They think he was created. No, he was always here. Before the world was here. Before you were here, I was here. He is the what? Alpha and the Omega. And he says, you believe in God? Believe I'm God too. I'm God. And then verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I used to love to look at mansions. I remember going to Malibu with my son years ago, and he showed me the mansions, millions and millions of dollars. They're beautiful mansions. And, you know, I used to look at mansions and say, wouldn't that be cool to live in that place? Wouldn't that be cool? But you know what? I'll be honest with you now. I look at mansions now, and they look like shacks. Literally, they look like shacks to me. You say, why is that? Because of what Jesus just said here. I believe him. I believe the Lord. I don't think he's lying. People are lying to you, you know. But the Lord said, I have mansions. And he's gone up there to build a place for you, just for you. If you're saved, it is for you. But that may be good enough, but what if I die and don't get there? Well, if you're saved and you put your faith in Jesus and you die, the Bible says that you're going to be first to get raised from the dead. And you're going to be first. Before the Lord takes living people, he's going to get a hold of the dead people and bring them out of the grave. You say, do you believe Jesus Christ can do that? Hey, he made the whole world. He made the universe. He can raise dead people. If I don't care where their molecules are. He can reassemble them. Amen. And he will. Because you say, well, where do you get that? Look at verse 3. He said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," and he's doing that right now. He said, I will come again. Do you think he's going to give this world to Bill Gates? Do you think he's going to give this world to Klaus Schwab? Do you think he's going to give this world to George Soros? Do you think he's going to give this world to a beast that would rise from the dead to reign over this world with Satan? This world is, this is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. With his hand, these wonders he wrought. This is my Father's world. The battle is not won. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. He's coming back. And he said, I will receive you unto myself. I like that word, paralambano. Receive you unto myself. I'm going to speak in a paralambano. And now I'll interpret that. That was Greek. And it means that I'll receive you right next to me. Right up next to me. He's going to take you out of this world. And Satan is not going to be able to hurt you.
Hey.
You say, well, what if he kills me? Well, don't fear. Don't fear that. Fear the one that can throw people in hell, the second death, the lake of fire. Warn people. In fact, I warn you, if you haven't trusted him, then the only other thing you can do is face him at the judgment and go to the lake of fire. And God says, no, don't do that. Turn today to Jesus. I was talking to a guy the other day. I dropped my wife at Allentown Airport, and she said, why don't you go to Golden Corral? I know you like to eat at Golden Corral. I said, I don't know. I'm not going to eat there, I don't think. Sure enough, I went there. Dropped him at the airport. I went to the Golden Corral. They had a lot of good vegetables. I just had all vegetables. I was so good. And I ate all these vegetables, and they had all kind of different ones. It was so good. I was so happy. I ate that. It was about 60 degrees in sunshine there. It was so warm in Allentown. I wish they'd give that northeastern PA a little bit of the Allentown. And so I was walking around down there, and I saw a guy, and as I was walking around, I started giving him the gospel, and I got into it, and he just said, can you get to the point? Can you get to the point? And I did. I got to the point. I explained the end of it to him. I invited him to put your faith in Jesus, get saved. And he was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, here, read this. I don't want that. And I just started walking away. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And then I stopped. I said, turn or burn. You have to turn or you're going to burn. And I told him about hell. And I tell you the same thing today. I don't say it happily. I say it very sadly. It's a horrible thing. But I would that you would get saved. I would that you would enter the door. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. They said, how do we get to heaven? He said, don't have to know how to get there. You know, I'm not good with directions sometimes. You don't have to know. You just have to know me. Just know me. That's all. I'll take you there. I'll take you. I was out with a GPS the other day. We were in Carbondale. And, yeah, we were in Carbondale. And we were, was that when we were going to that one house that you knew? Yeah, we were going to that one house. And he said where it was. But we were going down this road. It didn't look right. It looked like a dead end. But the GPS said, go. I said, okay, I'm going to trust this thing. And sure enough, it opened up and we got to where we were going. And it just brought us out. Oh, John, it brought us out to your place. That's right. We were going to Summit Gardens. It seemed to be a weird way, but it was the quickest way to get there, you know. The quickest way to get to heaven is to accept Jesus as your Savior. Amen. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh. I thank God I'm going to heaven. He brought me out, Jesus. He's leading me one step at a time, one day at a time, giving me what I need for each day. Remember, he only does it for one day at a time, one step at a time. Walk in the Spirit. He's not going to give you for tomorrow. Just live today for him. You say, what about tomorrow? You'll wind up just where you need to be tomorrow. And then he will bring you in. He did bring Israel into the promised land, didn't he? He brought Joshua and he brought him in. This thing is going to end with a showdown between God and the devil. And who's going to win that one? And the Lord is going, just like he did, listen to me, just like he did in Egypt, he's going to come back and he's going to lift us out of this world and our bodies are going to be raised and we're going to meet the Lord in the air and we're going to be with the Lord forever. He is going to bring you back in. Praise God for that. And Jesus said that. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. He does what he says. And so you just should not let Satan make you afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is all powerful. He is God. He loves us. He proves his love. He brought you out, didn't he? Didn't he bring you out if you're saved?
Yes.
He is bringing you through. Think of things he's brought you through. He's still there. He hasn't forsaken you. He will bring you in. It's guaranteed. Into what? Your mansion. Into heaven. No more sickness. No more death.
Amen.
No more pestilence.
Hey.
Plandemics. All the rest, thank God. Let's pray together. Amen and amen. Perhaps you've been going through a time of stress, of fear, of doubt. Well, you need to know the Lord will lead you through your wilderness. The Lord